God's grace, his mercy, and his continually everlasting love be with us this morning and forever henceforth. Amen. For a text this morning, I'd like to read from the second book of Timothy, chapter 2. We'll read the first 13 verses. It's Timothy chapter 2, and beginning with verse 1 and reading the words in Jesus' name, 2 Timothy. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou have heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say. The Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Amen. Heavenly Father, this morning we come before you. Father, that you would speak to us through these words. That, Father, that you would give the words and all of the things of me standing behind, and that I would hear along with the rest of your love and compassion that you have for us. In Jesus' name. Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We know that Timothy was not a son of Paul's. Of course, indeed, Paul not being married, he had no children. But what he's saying here is, or what he's telling Timothy, and what he's telling us who are looking at this and reading this, is just how close and how much he thought of Timothy. In another translation, it says, "Thou therefore, my child," is what it says. But the point is that the Apostle Paul had a kinship and a love and a compassion for Timothy. And he goes on and says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." We've heard that name or that word a lot, the grace of God. God saves us by grace. It is grace that we trust in and glorify God with. And indeed it is. There's no question about that. You look up the term grace and you look up the meaning of it, it says undeserved favor. It's something that there is. It's not something that we own. It's not something that we have bought or that we have done anything for, but it is something that God has freely given to us. He has given it to us because we trust in him and we believe what his son did on that cross of Calvary. We are saved by grace and we live by grace. In Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 8 and 9. I had a lot of them marked out. I hope I can find them all. But there is a portion in there that kind of goes along with this. I can make my fingers work. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a very familiar portion of word, God's word. We've heard it many times, but it's true. We are saved by grace, and it's not of ourselves. It's nothing that we can boast on. But we also live by grace. We live this life knowing and trusting that even though we stumble and even though we fall, even though this flesh sometimes can become, throw so many temptations down in our path, we trust in that grace of God. We trust that that grace is something that covers our sin. Because Jesus has said he died for us. And if we believe in him, then we are holy. In Colossians, the second chapter, verse 6, he says this, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." We walk with Christ. We don't walk on our own. We don't walk of our own volition. We don't walk the way we think that we ought to be doing things. We walk with Christ. We walk with him and ask him for the guidance and for the strength. And through his Spirit, he talks to us. He guides our paths. And he points us in the direction that we need to go. We live by trusting completely in Christ and his power. The key to that is Christ and his power. You see, there's nothing more powerful than Christ on this earth. Satan can't do anything. Satan tried and he wasn't able to. We live by trusting in him completely and trusting in his power. We don't do it by living by our own strength. I've tried. It doesn't work. And I think probably most of us can have a story to tell. It doesn't work. A lot of times we'll maybe get to the point of, well, things just aren't happening fast enough. Things just aren't happening the way that I think they ought to. So I'm going to go ahead and take the reins, and I'm going to go ahead and do what I feel pretty confident is the right thing to do. How has that worked? It doesn't always work out so well. A lot of times we have to wait. And Christ's time or God's time is not ours. And it may take a while. An experience that I had a couple different times, two different occasions, without going into detail, but things that I did not understand, things that I did not know, and things that I felt were important, that I needed to know these things. But by God's grace, I was able to wait. By God's grace, I was able to be patient, which is not in my nature. You know, God did reveal it to me eventually. It took quite a while. For one of them, anyway, it took a number of years. One of them, not so long. But the beauty of it was is that when God showed it to me, there was no question. There was absolutely no question whatsoever that this is correct. This is right. And no one has ever been able to say, no, I don't agree with that. Or at least no Christian has been able to. When God shows us something, it's correct and proper. And then he goes on. Goes on and he says, "And the things that thou have heard of me among witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. When Paul ordained, if you will, Timothy, there were a lot of people there that were there, and they heard him, and they heard what Paul had done and heard what he said and how he had encouraged Timothy to go out and preach the word. So the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, at that same time, the Apostle Paul, there were a lot of stories that followed him. There were a lot of witnesses that followed him and were able to say, hey, look, we were there when he did this. Those things that you have heard, he's telling Timothy, now commit those to faithful men. What is he talking about? He's talking about the teachings of Christ, the truth of the gospel. And he's telling Timothy, those things that you have heard of me, those things that you have heard me teach, those things that you have heard me tell. And many, many people are telling, have witnessed this. Teach these same things to faithful men. And it's a key, faithful men. Faithful individuals. Teach these things to faithful people who shall also teach others. That's how God's word is spread. It's not spread by a miraculous sign in the sky. It's not spread by any other type of a premonition or anything on that order. It is spread by God's messengers. But those messengers have to be taught in the proper way. They have to be taught in a faithful manner. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And here he's warning us, as well as Timothy, but he's warning us also. There's going to be times where it's going to be a little tough. Endure hardness. There are going to be times where you're going to have to put up with some things that you're not going to like, all because of your faith and all because of what you believe. I remember years ago, we were on the job, and I talked about something. I had my little Bible there and talked about it. Boy, I've never seen so many people disappear. I mean, they were gone in a heartbeat because they just flat didn't want to hear it. And it's not that they didn't say anything to me. It was not that they did anything to me. But yet it was discouraging. Even to this day, it just amazes me how fast they disappeared. I didn't want to hear that. And off they went, and they were gone. Be a good soldier. Be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And endure the trials and the tribulations and the hard times that you're going to face. No man wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I think of this in a military, and I believe that's the way Paul wrote it, in a military sense. You have the people at the top making the decisions, passing them down, and it just keeps going down through the command until it finally gets to the guy that's going to have to do it. The guy that's going to have to do it a lot of times doesn't understand it. And in some cases, I'm sure there's a lot of grumbling, maybe many cases, I don't know. But the point is that it gets done. It gets done. And they don't get all tangled up in the whys and the wherefores. They don't get all tangled up in the how comes and the maybes. They do what they're told to do. They do what they're told because that is their responsibility. And then he goes on and he says, if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Well, in this particular language, when it says to strive lawfully, what it's actually saying is that he's not crowned unless he puts forth the effort. He's not crowned unless he does what is needed to do to make himself good. Or even in some cases, even better than coming out first. But he's striving to win. And the only way to win is by putting forth the effort. When we're speaking of something in this particular sense. But yet, isn't it the same even in Christianity? The only way that we're going to win is by putting forth the effort. It's not going to happen all by itself, folks. It's not going to happen by us just kind of walking along and keeping our mouth shut and moving along. We have to put forth the effort. And part of that effort is studying. Studying the Word and know what Jesus has for us to do. And if opportunity should open, if opportunity should knock, as it says, then be ready to give the message that you have that God has given you of the love and compassion that Christ has for each and every individual. And then the husbandman that labors must be first partaker of the fruits. The farmer out there that puts forth the effort is going to reap the rewards most of the time. I know when John Nematello was here, I know a lot of times he would say that, boy, this season started out pretty good, but boy, then we got rain, and then it rained again, and after that it rained again, and it just pretty much destroyed the crop. That happens. That's the life of the farmer. Or it started out good, and then it ended up being real dry. It's the life of the farmer. But they don't quit. They don't quit. They continue on and continue doing what they're supposed to be doing. And that in the Christian world, it's the same thing. You don't quit. Well, there's times where you may slow down. There's times where you may not say anything. But you don't stop. You don't stop believing because times have gotten tough. You don't stop believing because there's certain things that have happened to you, or that the flesh is telling you something, or Satan is standing at your shoulder and telling you, oh boy, no, you don't want to do that. You don't quit. But you continue on. And the beauty of it is that when those fruits, when that crop begins to show and begins and comes to the point to be ready to harvest, you get the first pickings. And that's what makes it all enjoyable and makes it all worthwhile. When a Christian doesn't quit, and when his time is over, and he's put into the ground, and he's sleeping that eternal sleep, when his Savior calls him, he's going to be one of the first ones to partake of that fruit that God has prepared for him. Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. Consider what I'm telling you. Think about it. And then may the Lord give you the understanding of all of these things so that you may be able to teach. You may be able to preach to all of those who would understand and who would want to know. But the key on this is to consider it. Don't just hear it and then go out and start proclaiming it. If God gives you that opportunity, then fine. But in most cases, we hear something, and it's best if we think about it a little bit and let God be able to give us the full understanding of what it is that we heard. It's always the best way. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, reading that, especially those last few words, according to my gospel, well, the actual translation, or the best translation of this word gospel, actually is message. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my message. Because that's what Paul told them. the message that he gave to all of these people and specifically to Timothy. Remember that Jesus Christ was the seed of David. There's a twofold thing that goes on here. One, of course, is that according to my message, but what was happening at that time, in the time of Timothy, there were two things that were the false teachers were taught. Well, there's actually two things even today. At that time, the false teachers of that day, they were teaching that Jesus was God. They understood that. But what they wouldn't admit is that he was also human. And that's tough for us to even try to figure out today. That's not an easy thing to understand unless you understand what God had in store for us and the reason why Jesus came. Today it's a little different. Today things are just a little bit reversed. When you talk about Jesus to the known world, the common world, if you will, whatever term you want to put on it. Yeah, there was a Jesus here. I mean, history, you know, secular history shows it, that he was walking around. But they don't believe he was God. So it's kind of reversed. It's not really the same anymore. So what Paul is doing here, he's telling Timothy, remember these things. It is Christ who was the seed of David. He came according to the promise. He came according to the promise. He was raised from the dead according to the promise, according to the message that I have given you, and according to the gospel that we have here. Christ indeed was man, and he indeed is God. Wherein I suffer troubles as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The Apostle Paul was in his second imprisonment. This time, though, he wasn't under house arrest. This time he was in the dungeon. And it was a filthy, stinking, nasty place to be. But yet he was still allowed visitors, and he was still allowed writing material. It is said that Dr. Luke visited him quite a bit. But the point is that he was still able to spread God's message. And as in the house arrest, there were people, particularly guards and people who took care of Paul, who were under the authority of Nero, who came to know God, came to know Christ, and understood that their salvation was in him. It was the same, it is reported to have been the same while he was in the dungeon. That they were there, there were some in there that knew him and had an association with him that came to know who his Savior was. Wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer. And that was kind of strange, because all he did was believe in Jesus. But yet at that time, mankind thought that to be evil. At that time, they thought that to be just not right. And even unto bonds. But God's word is not bound. We see that Paul is still able to send messages. This is actually his last letter that he wrote. And he's still able to send out teaching and instruction, not caring about his end, but still proclaiming that gospel message, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I therefore endure for the elect's sake, that they may obtain that salvation. I continue on so that others may also hear it. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. It is said that this may possibly have been a chant or a song or some type of a music that went along with this at that time. And it could have been, I don't know. But the point is that if we are dead with him, we shall also live with him. And I think Paul looked at that in that way, that my time is almost up. And I'm going to be with Christ. And for any believer, that's a wonderful thing. I've had to suffer a lot. But someday I will reign with him. And if we deny him, he also will deny us. That's a scary thing. We never want to do that. We never want to deny who our salvation is or where it is or where it lies. Because in denying him, we're denying the very fact that he saved us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. That's the key. Even though we don't believe, he still abides faithful. Even though we don't believe, he's still there calling. He's still calling those who don't believe up until the very last second of time. He will continue to call. Then it says he cannot deny himself. In Romans, one of the part that I read for scripture verses, let me read the last two verses again. And think about these things. Think about these words that are here. So oftentimes we look at these and say, well, you know, I've read this a couple dozen times or 500 times or twice or whatever it happens to be. Sometimes we go over them so fast that we never really think about what the words mean. We never really think about just how strong and just how gracious Christ is. For I am persuaded that neither death, which is eternal, your death, that's it, your clock stops, you're done, nor life while you're still around, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. It pretty much covers it all, doesn't it? But then he goes on and he says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing that man has invented. There is nothing spiritually that Satan would try to do that can separate us from God. God is all powerful, and there is absolutely nothing that can separate us. And until that end, until that day, we need to trust in that, and we need to cling to it. We need to understand that indeed we are saved because of God's love for us. In his name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words. We pray, Lord, as we leave from here, we ask, O God, that we continue to look to you. We ask, O God, that we would continue to understand and to know that you indeed have our best interest in mind. Father, we also know that one day you want us to be with you. You don't want us to go any other way but to your heavenly home. Lord, we pray for the strength and for the guidance to understand and to know and have the knowledge that one day we will be with you. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. And now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.